Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
And now, Oklahoma City Sports Radio gets serious. With the dominant duo, Jim Traeger and Al Eschbach, it's Total Dominance on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
We're back in studio today, and I'm joined by the legend of radio, King of the Midgets, and the world champion at Freecell. He is also the newest member of the Journalism Hall of Fame in the state of Oklahoma, Mr. Al Eschbach. And this show is known as the Dominant
Duo.
How you doing today, Al?
Not bad. Staying inside. What about you?
Good. I went out to... took my car to T&W Tire today, but that, other than that, had a little lunch, and now I'm in for the night because it is very,
very cold. I went and
got
a newspaper, and that's it.
Very good. Your newspaper been in the right spot?
Not bad. I can't complain. You know, they don't publish every day anymore.
What are you talking about?
They don't publish. Like New Year's Eve and New Year's, there are no newspapers.
They did it on Christmas, too.
Did they, too?
Yes.
I was gone.
Really?
Print edition on like Thursday, and it's supposed to get you through the next 2 days.
Yeah, in fact, when they first did it Labor Day, it was like first time like in 100 years or something like that. They didn't print a paper.
That's amazing,
isn't it?
Yep, where life has come from when you were with the Journal years and years ago, huh?
Yep, you're right. It's sad.
Newspapers used to be the thing.
And there were so many of them.
I know.
Just think here in Oklahoma, you had the Oklahoman, Oklahoma City Times, and the Journal.
Now it's Sports Talk Radio.
That's right.
And a bunch of Yardbirds that do stuff on the internet.
Kind of sad. Newspapers have gone down in Sports Talk Radio. It'd be interesting to see, like in 1970, how many newspapers were in the country? And then let's fast forward to, like, let's just say when Sports Talk Radio just started. Let's give like 1980 a year and see how many Sports Talk formats there were compared to right now.
Well, you
astounding, wouldn't it?
Now you would know, wouldn't you? How many stations were there in 1980?
Not many. WFAN hadn't started yet, so. But I don't know. There wasn't any all sports format then, so not until the mid '80s did the all sports. I wonder how many sports talk shows there were. Just Sports Talk shows in 1980.
There weren't many, I promise you.
No.
Probably.
No, there. No.
Probably San Diego, Dallas, Denver, and you.
And Cleveland.
Okay, Cleveland. Very nice. And then, of course, then New York went all sports, right?
WFAN.
Interestingly enough, though, they never had sports in the morning.
That what?
They never had a sports show in the morning.
No.
They had, what was his name? Help me.
Howard Stern.
No, it was Superstar. Come on, Tony. Who's the guy did radio, big radio, and they started there in radio, and then he had a TV show. And
Don Imus.
Don Imus. That's it. Imus in the morning. Thank
Imus
you very
in the morning,
much, Tony.
On WABC.
Yeah, but he was on The Fan, too.
Later on, I guess he was.
Right, later on, yeah.
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 Because he and Howard Stern hated each other.
Right, and he bought, and I think Fan bought his contract. They signed him to take him from ABC.
Well, and then he got, remember he said something about the Rutgers women?
Basketball
players?
He got fired. He messed up, yeah. Almost all of them mess up. I mean... David Stern had to go to Sirius Radio because he couldn't stop saying things he wasn't supposed to say.
Well, and he still does his TV stuff, right?
Are you David Stern or are you Howard,
Howard
Stern?
Howard Stern, not David Stern. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's changed big time. It's just different than night and day.
And believe it or not, Howard has changed too.
Has he really?
He cooled down a little bit. They don't do the crazy stuff. I mean, they do crazy stuff, but it's not like it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it used to be unbelievable. I mean, but you're right. He has, from what I understand, he definitely has. I haven't listened to him in so long. He's on Sirius now, right?
Yeah, I actually stopped listening because it was not like it used to be.
Oh, so it wasn't as crazy as you wanted it crazier?
Of course. It's Howard Stern.
Oh, yep. Did you ever watch that movie on him?
Yes.
Tony, did you see that movie?
That's why I wanted to get into radio.
Was it really?
It was about that time when it came out. It was like, what do I do with my life? That looks pretty cool.
Wow. So Howard Stern brought Tony Z into radio.
That's
cool. That is crazy.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
No, but it's still kind of crazy.
Let's put it, I'm nowhere near like a Howard Stern, but
no, we understand you're not. No one's like Howard Stern.
No one's like Howard Stern is right.
Oh, man.
I mean, he was really the first shock jock.
Yeah, you know, I think I've told you guys, Tony, we've talked about it. Baker tried to get him on, but the Grease Man, there was a dude in Washington, D.C., Al. When Howard Stern was in Washington, D.C., that's where he started out. The Grease Man was on another station down there. I think it was 98 Rock or whatever. And the Grease Man was unbelievable. And he ended up going somewhere to New York. But Tony, look up where the Grease Man, where he ended up and different places he went. But then Howard Stern went and became huge time, and the Grease Man just was, you know, he was really good, but he didn't become as big as Howard Stern. He had the Grease Man was unbelievable, Al. You'd have loved him.
And what was his shtick?
He fought in Vietnam, or at least said that he fought in Vietnam, and he had his number one shtick, Al, was that he had his own. He beat the FCC by having his own language. And what I mean that is that certain phrases and certain words meant different things. So he could tell an entire story. And, like, the fans would write all of the stuff. They had, like, they had books of what his stuff meant so everybody knew. And he could tell an entire story. And the people who were listening knew what it was, but you and I would have no idea what it was.
That's crazy.
Was telling things that he wasn't really allowed to say on radio.
Wow.
He was amazing.
Wow.
He was so smart. What do you got, Tony? Give me the Grease Man.
That station in Washington, D.C. was WRC.
Was it 98 Rock or no?
I don't.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But where did he go after that?
Let's see, Hartford, WPOP.
Okay, where else? Anywhere else? I think he did national for a little bit.
Let me just go down here. He had success in Jacksonville at WAPE. Then he got things stirred up with a Martin Luther King Day comment. Do you know anything about that?
Oh,
James
yeah,
Byrd comment?
Big trouble for that, yeah. All them dudes, man, they get in trouble for something. But
wow.
Anyway, he was... He was really, really good.
That's a really good name, the Grease Man, right?
The Grease Man, yeah.
So
his name was what's it say? Greasinelli or what's?
His real name's Dave or Douglas A. Tract.
But his name that he went by was what? Greasinelli or something or Grease? I couldn't remember, and he just called him the Grease Man. So.
Wow.
Tony, did you ever? Let me ask Al. All these years that you've been doing radio, did you ever think? At some point that you wanted to, like, go spin some records and be some guy like that?
Well, I did a rock and roll show on Sundays.
You know, now how long did you do that for?
Probably a couple of years.
Would you talk in between?
It was me and a guy named Ed Sarson that did it. Yeah, we talked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you actually do the spinning of the records?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And was it records or carts?
Then it was carts.
Yeah. Carts. What a joke they were. They were so, that was so hard to deal with those carts.
Do you remember the machine that erased them?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? I used to love that thing. Matter of fact, I made it part of my show with Dan Lutz. I can't remember what it was, but there was something in my show that when I said something or I got mad or something like that, or, you know, or I wanted to, like, obliterate somebody or something, I would just have Dan play that and go, ah, we'd play it over the air.
Almost felt like I had to have a protective suit on to run the thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It sounded like there was something in there, like, yeah, that was going to blow you up or something, give you something bad.
Yeah, that was the carts. And then remember they'd break?
Oh, yeah. Sure they would. You know what's amazing to this day? And I have no idea how this is how it happened, but my Be Happy Friday music, Tony, started on a cart.
I believe that. I truly believe that.
And I have no idea how it got here with me now. I have no idea. Because remember, I went from there to the other place, and then from that place to here, and somehow, some way, the Be Happy Friday music has made it all the way through. Well, and I have no idea how.
How about Al's Ten Commandments, the Al Bundy thing? That's existed.
Well, you're right. That's
so
another
great
one, right, Al?
And the Walk of Shame.
You know, can I hear the walk? I haven't heard the Walk of Shame in forever.
Let's play
can
the
I
walk
hear
of
that,
shame.
Please?
Yeah, let me find
I haven't
that.
Heard it. Okay. Well, I want to hear. I haven't heard the Walk of Shame. And I used to just love when you used to do the Walk of Shame. You would almost every week there would be a day where you would start off and just say, can I get the Walk of Shame?
The honor court is met. His name will never be mentioned again. Let him go from us forever. Let him begin the Walk of Shame.
Oh, my gosh. That is beautiful.
From the Dukes, I think it's the Dukes of Discipline.
That's the name of it?
I think that was a movie.
Now, that guy sounds exactly like the sergeant in the other movie. What is it, Tony? Where the fat
guy. Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket. Sounds just like him.
Arlie?
What's it? What did you say?
Is his name Arlie?
I don't know, but is it? I wonder if it's the same guy. Sounds just like him. Remember, he's the one that's yelling at Pyle. Remember the big fat dude?
Yep.
Arlie. Is it Arlie Ermey?
Is that his real name?
Yeah, Ronald Lee Ermey.
Okay. And was he the same guy?
Gunny Sergeant, yeah.
Gunny Sergeant, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, remember that dude killed himself?
Oh, yeah. That was wicked.
Pyle. He used to wear him out.
Don't bring jelly donuts back to his barracks.
And you know who that guy was? Okay, that fat dude was in a lot of other things later on, and you wouldn't have known it because he wasn't as fat and he got older. Like, for instance, you know the movie The Judge, Al?
Yeah.
He was the second son. He was the older son. The brother who was the judge's son. He's kind of a big guy. What's his name, Tony? Do you know?
Vincent D'Onofrio?
That's right, D'Onofrio. Yeah. He was also in, like, Law and Order.
Yeah, he did a lot of TV.
Yeah, a lot of TV. But he'll never, ever be better known than Pyle.
What a great role. I mean, that was unbelievable.
And that face he made, dude, before he killed himself.
Oh, my goodness.
I forgot about that. I was scared to death, man. Do you remember that, Tony?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
that was scary, man. He played that. I've never seen a scarier face of someone that was, like, acting crazy.
Maybe Linda Blair, but.
Well, that's the best. Yeah, maybe that's the best of all time when her head spun around. You're right. That's. That's about as good as it gets. But, yeah, good stuff, man. It was really good to hear your Walk of Shame.
That's one of my favorite Vietnam movies.
Full Metal Jacket?
Yes.
It takes you all the way through, you know?
It really does. I mean, it really, really does. It was special.
You know what I like so much, and, of course, I can't remember the name, but what's the one, guys, where... Gone it. Marlon Brando's Up the River.
Apocalypse Now.
Oh, what a movie.
That's
that
Robert
is.
Duvall. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That's right. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. He's out there. The things are everything's just walking on that beach. But remember when they go up the Dagon River and see Marlon Brando?
There's a documentary on Showtime, Anytime, or it's HBO, I can't remember, about Marlon Brando, and it's like in his voice. You guys should really check it out. I watched it over the break. It's fantastic. I don't know what the name. It's good, guys. You would enjoy.
Well, Marlon Brando, man, he played some crazy parts now.
No, he did. I mean, he played, I tell you, a movie. You know what? I'm going to watch it. I think it was called The Wild Bunch. Is that what it's called, Tony? On a bunch of motorcycles?
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen that.
This one's called Listen to Me, Marlon. Listen to Me, Marlon. That's what it is. Listen to Me, Marlon.
Well, I just, over the break, when I was sick, I was just laying around. Julie and I watched The Godfather and The Godfather 2 for, I don't know, 3 millionth time. It's really bad. It's really bad when you can watch a movie and you know every line that's coming. You
know? I know.
and we'll just talk. You know, Julie and I are laying on the couch, both of us sick as can be, and we're just doing the lines back and forth to each other, you know? Just crazy.
That is funny. I mean, that was a great movie.
You know, you want to know one of my favorite parts?
Casualties of War was a good one, too.
Oh, that is a good one, yeah.
With Sean Penn? Michael J. Fox in that, Tony?
Forgot about that. That is a good movie.
Michael J. Fox is the one that turned everybody in. Remember
that's
that?
Exactly right. Turned Sean Penn in and everything.
And
yeah,
Sean absolutely. Penn should have been turned in because that dude was a ridiculous. Bad. He was a psycho.
He was totally psycho.
Can remember you guys imagine how many of those that really existed? Like in?
Oh, I guarantee you, it's all over the place. Yeah. It's crazy. Oh, man.
I know
a couple people when I was younger that went to Vietnam, and some of the stories they tell are just, and they don't like telling a lot of them, so.
No, I know some people that won't even talk about it, Jim.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I don't think I'd have been able to do it. I'm glad that I didn't have to go to a war, because I don't think I'd have been bad. I wouldn't have been very good at it, so.
Especially in the jungle, man.
Oh, the jungle, man. I'd be worrying about bugs. That's how bad I am. Poor people are trying to shoot at me, and I'd be worrying about the bugs that are getting on me.
You know, it was a good Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie. It was, right? You know, I mean, because of him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, they got a lot of good movies. Yeah, good movies.
What's your favorite World War II one?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to think about that for a while because I don't even remember all the ones that I've watched about World War II.
Do you like Saving Private Ryan?
Loved Saving Private Ryan. Loved it. Just loved it. I thought Tom Hanks was unbelievable in that.
Tom Hanks was unbelievable in that.
He was incredible.
He was.
Well, he's incredible in everything. Oh, why my memory is so bad today. What's the one where he's on the island, Tony? Come on, help me out.
World War II movie?
No. Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, Castaway. Castaway.
We watched that during the break too, Al. That movie is amazing.
Yeah, he is just, and Forrest Gump was just.
Oh, he was unbelievable. Well, you know, I've said many times, he's this era's Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, how old is he now?
Oh, he's got to be in his 50s, doesn't he?
Mid-50s at least.
Yeah, my guess is 54, 55.
Try 65.
What? Tom Hanks is 65?
Yes.
Wow.
So he's just a few years younger than those other guys of the De Niro bunch. De Niro and Pacino and Hoffman and Nicholson.
Yeah.
Nicholson's 84.
That's crazy. Big Jack. I think he has Alzheimer's too, doesn't he?
He has something because no one has, you know, seen anything of him lately.
Yeah, that's sad. Let's take an OG&E break. Increase your comfort and savings with energy efficiency programs at OG&E.com. We'll be back with Mr. Al Eschbeck right here on The Leader in Sports, The Animal. This show is known as The Dominant
Duo.
Your source for total sports coverage in Oklahoma is thesportsanimal.com. Listen live to WWLS streaming across the globe 24/7. Also on our mobile app and through your Alexa and Google device. WWLS, The Sports Animal. Thunder are at home, looking to beat the Timberwolves tomorrow night at 7 on ESPN 640 and 98.1 FM, WWLS, The Sports Animal.
Mr. Al Eschbeck is with us. This show's known as The Dominant
Duo.
I just turned it over to the Golf Channel, and they're playing out there in Kapalua right now. That makes me really want to go back to Maui when it's 10 degrees outside.
Doesn't it get depressed when you get out, when you're leaving Hawaii?
Yeah, it is.
It's a great place.
You don't want to leave. You ever think about going to Hawaii?
No. Well, I've thought about it. I shouldn't say no. I've thought about it. Yeah, I've thought.
How about like Tahiti or Bora Bora?
You can't get into those places now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, I thought about going back to New Zealand or Australia.
Oh, there. I mean, look what's going on with Djokovic.
Well. I mean, he knows the rules.
Yeah. Actually, though, it's weird because somebody over there, I don't know what it is, there's different people, but someone said, yeah, you're okay to come, and then the government said, no, you can't come, and now he's got a quarantine. It's a weird deal.
It is very weird. You liked Australia, right?
What'd you say?
You liked Australia, right?
Oh, yeah, I liked it a lot, yeah. I was there for the Olympics. It was really cool.
Sydney reminds me a lot of New York City.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge city.
Yeah, it's big. It's definitely
now,
big.
You in Sydney, right?
I was in Sydney, yeah.
Yeah. Good beer.
It was pretty, it was really cool because I've never seen, you know, I'd never been to the Olympics before. And, I just couldn't believe how every, like, bar, restaurant, had their own country that they kind of like hosted.
Okay.
So you could walk down the street and there would be like the Sweden team and then the Yugoslavia place and then Serbia. And then the Americans had like two or three of them together, you know, big bars. And then the Australians had play. I mean, it was incredible. And you could just, if you wanted to, you could just go eat and drink with people from any country in the world. I mean, where else can you do that?
Oh, I know. That is very cool.
Yeah, this year, you see NBC's been pushing how they're going to be playing the Olympics and the Super Bowl in the same month. They're going to have them on both the same time. Never been done. Yep.
I'm not into that. I watched some of the Winter Olympics. I mean, Tony likes the male ice skating.
Al knows me so well, I guess, man.
I actually like some of it, dude. I like the bobsledding. I like the luge. I like some of the skiing. I like the ski jumping. That's amazing to me, those ski jumpers, man. So, yeah, but yeah, it's not. I mean, I like the Summer Olympics better, but, of course, we come from a country in an area of the country where they don't do any of that stuff.
You're right.
I mean, if you and I were from like Sweden or something, we probably would love the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I tell you, the sport that it probably the last 30, 40 years has grown immensely more than any in the Olympics is gymnastics, women's gymnastics.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy how big it's become. And I'll watch just about anything, really. I mean, I kind of like seeing it. I like to see the Americans, if they can do well. A lot of times in the Winter Olympics, they get their butts kicked by the Polish people and the Finland and all them. They're amazing. I do think some of them are stupid, like the cross-country skiing. I never understood that.
You got to like the cross-country ones that stop and shoot guns, though, right? That's cool.
Well, that is really cool because can you imagine how hard that is after you're working your tail off to have to stop and aim at something?
Yeah.
Yeah, those people are amazing.
Wow. Yeah, the some of their skiing is pretty tough. When they that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like the slalom and all that.
Yeah.
And the downhill, when they really get after it, man, they go fast.
Can you imagine how hard it is to do that?
Yeah, all those skiing events are hard, man.
No doubt.
Like cross-country, are you kidding me? Think about practicing for cross-country skiing. You're just going to get on the skis, and you're just going to go on this path all through the mountains all by yourself. Now, the good thing is you probably can put some music in your ears and at least listen, but... And they go for miles.
So how far do they go?
Well, Tony can look it up. I mean, I think they've got huge, like, thousands of kilometers. Tony, look up real quick. Just put in cross-country skiing Olympics, and let's see what the events are. I think there's like a 50. There might be a 50,000 kilometer and a.
Yeah, I don't want kilometers. I want, like, miles.
Well, we'll figure it out with kilometers. Okay. After we get how many kilometers, we'll put it into miles. You got anything, Tony?
Yeah, I guess. Let's see. Okay, dummies.com. I'll have it here.
Dummies? What is dummies.com?
I didn't believe there was a dummies.com, but there is. Individual sprint. There's a team sprint, a freestyle technique.
Yeah, but they sprint, and it's like massive amounts. Like, what do they have numbers?
Yeah, they do. They'll see team sprint. Each team consists of two skiers. The first skier runs two laps around the sprint course and then trades off with his teammate, who then runs two laps. This continues until both skiers have skied six full laps.
How long is a lap, though?
It doesn't tell me that. I'm sorry.
Here they are, 10 kilometers and 20 kilometers. My boy told me right now. And here it is, a kilometer is equal to about 0.62 miles. So 20,000 kilometers, that means that it's 20 times 6 is 20. That's like 14 miles, Al.
Wow. Dude, that's insane.
Yeah. And they're up and down hills and stuff and, oh.
That is insane.
What do you think, Tony? If Al would have been raised in Finland, do you think that Al would have been a cross-country skier?
I highly doubt that.
What winter sport? If Al would have been raised in Finland, what would it have been?
Well, now remember, I ice skated.
Okay, so you would have been an ice skater then?
No.
Hockey player?
No, I don't like violence.
What? You don't like violence.
I don't like getting hit.
Okay. By the way, OU just picked up a kid in the portal from Hawaii. Defensive lineman, 6'6", 280 pounds. Georgia, USC, Washington, Miami, California, LSU, other teams that were interested in him. I can't pronounce his name.
How about OSU now getting hit by the portal?
I have not seen it. What's happened?
Oh, I'll have to get it. They've lost. I'll get it. They've lost like three players.
Well, I know one kid, McAllister, went to Ohio State with Knowles.
They lost Jernigan to...
Right. Is he going to Missouri?
And they lost one to Nebraska.
Who was the other one?
Why would you go to Nebraska, Missouri? I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe
I could see going to Ohio State.
Maybe Knowles left? Is that why?
What?
Maybe because Knowles left?
Maybe.
Who went to Nebraska? Do you remember?
Oh, I'll get it during the next break.
Okay. Yeah, I knew Jernigan was going to go to Missouri, and I knew that McAllister followed
Knowles.
He's good. McAllister's a good player.
Yeah,
obviously, Ohio
is.
State wants him.
Yep.
Yeah, that done some. I mean... Nobody's going to be able to keep everybody right now.
No. You're crazy if you think you are.
Yeah, you're just going to have to. You're going to have to be able to
You got to add and subtract.
That's right. Look at, like, OU getting in this defensive lineman.
Yep.
And frankly, I think some of these other kids on the defensive line for OU are good players, but it's obvious that they lost a lot.
And you got to get depth.
Are
you kidding me? You got to get depth, too.
Got to have depth. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Let's take an OG&E break. I still think Al would be really I think he'd be a good cross-country skier.
I like that. I might like that. Yeah, I think that would be pretty good.
From Finland.
What about curling?
Now, somebody texted me about curling. Yeah. Now, curling, that would be a good game for you.
Yeah. I might like curling.
Yeah. I love watching curling. And the United States has been getting better and better at curling, so it's fun to watch that. I just watched a speed skating race. They just had a speed skating race on TV. They're all getting ready to go. I love speed skating.
That is now that is fun. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
I like that.
How about ice swimming? Ice swimming?
What'd you say? Ice swimming?
Yes.
That's not the Olympics.
Well, this is what the Finnish people play, it says here.
Oh, they do ice swimming?
Yes.
Now that would, Al, that is you, man.
Or folk racing? Whatever
what?
That is.
Folk racing?
That's what it says.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing any of that crap.
We'd have to give Al a new name, though, because Eschbach is definitely not Finnish.
Well, now remember, Germany has a lot of mountains and everything.
That's true. You could just go back to your home area, go to
absolutely.
Germany.
Absolutely. No
There's
doubt
a lot
about
of great,
it.
A lot of great Germans, man, in the skiing and all that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, you don't have to go to Finland. You can just go to Germany.
better beer and much better food, I guarantee. I've been to Finland, and the food sucks.
I would not want to go to Finland. I'm sorry. OG&E break. Increase your comfort and savings with energy-efficient programs at OGE.com. Mr. Barry Trammell joins us next right here on The Leader in Sports. This show's known as the Dominant
Duo.
We are the Animal.
Man, Sports Animal, the best damn radio station in the world, man.
98.1 FM, WWLS. Now, Barry Trammell joins Al Eschbach and Jim Traver. This is Total Dominance. 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
We're back, joined by Mr. Barry Trammell and Mr. Al Eschbach. This show's known as the Total
Dominance
Hour.
Tram, how you doing today?
I'm not doing too bad for the weather.
Oh, it's cold.
Not too bad.
That's okay, though. Saturday's going to be like 65 or something. So
that'll be good. That'll be good.
Okay, guys, listen. Let's talk a little bit about Baker Mayfield here for a second. Now, I always make the disclaimer, I don't like the guy, okay? But I think that I've been hard on him, probably too hard at times. But I have said, you notice over the last year and a half or so, I've said, you know what, he's really growing up, right? Al, I've said that. He said the right things and things like that. Now, back when he got hurt, it was a serious injury. Some people forget that he had a crack in his bone, too, along with the tear in his labrum. I was very adamant and said, get your surgery. Go get your surgery. And then, you know, he decided he wasn't going to. He's a tough guy. And he has played absolutely horrible, all right? Literally has had probably the worst year of any starting quarterback in the NFL all year long. Now there's all these things coming out that, you know, him and Stefanski are at odds. This woman wrote it. I guess she's been there. The Abbott woman, you must know her, Tram. She's been doing it for 35 years in Cleveland. She wrote an article that said that Stefanski and him are in different ways, and Baker Mayfield wanted the offense to be different for him and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he comes out and he says on Twitter – that he rips the media, basically says that how they're making things up and they have no sources and blah, blah, blah. So, guys, I think he's hurt himself immensely by playing hurt, you know. Now somebody said, well, the harness has affected his throwing. Of course it has. Try to put your arm underneath and just hold it and throw with your other arm. Of course it's going to affect it. So I've laid it out for you guys, your thoughts. I'll start with you, Trim.
Now let Al start. Let Al start.
Okay, Al, you start.
Well, yeah, he should have had the surgery. I don't know who advised him or whatever, if he just himself, whatever, but he should have had the surgery. It did him absolutely no good. to play when you're hurt like that.
Yeah, and you know, Cham, I had my high school football and basketball coach, who, by the way, are both in the Hall of Fame of Maryland. They both are used to say this: if you go on the floor or if you go on the field and you're playing hurt, then guess what? There's no excuses at that point. You're the one that chose to play. If you're injured, then get out. If you're hurt, shut up and play.
Here's my question. On the pro level, is that decision made?
This is a great question.
By who? Does it depend on the team?
It's a great question.
Who made the decision?
The way that I understand it is that obviously the player decides what they're going to do to their body, right, for a surgery or not. But you would think that the team could say, hey, listen, we're going to put you on IR, you rest for 3 games, then we'll see what happens. But obviously, you remember way back when it first happened, Al, Baker Mayfield said, me and my agent and my family are going to decide what I'm going to do. And I was what? You mean the Cleveland Browns have nothing to say about it?
Yeah, I guess most times it comes down to the player decides actually what's going to be done to him, but the team decides who's going to play. I mean, Baker Mayfield doesn't get to decide who quarterbacks the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
But I know I remember we talked about this 2 months ago. I actually don't know the right answer at the time, and so backseat driving, I'm not going to engage in that. But clearly, he'd have been better off having the surgery back then, because he didn't play well. The team struggled. It's not like they're bereft at quarterback. They actually have a decent backup quarterback.
So, yeah, they do. You're right. I mean, he took the Vikings almost to the NFC Championship 2 years ago.
Yeah. So I would. I think it was clearly a mistake. And it sounds like his days are over in Cleveland.
Boy, that is just crazy, is it not? You know what, Al?
Yeah.
Jake Trotter was on with Mark Rogers day before yesterday, and he said that a lot of people now think that he will not be back in Cleveland. That is, can you believe that, Al? A year ago today,
I know.
They had beaten the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, and then barely lost to Kansas City in the next round, and now he's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, boy, I tell you, you look at quarterback in the NFL, some of these young guns, ups and downs. Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at the Ravens this year.
Yeah, and by the way, the kid that's playing for him is really good, the Huntley kid.
Yeah.
I know. Hey. Listen, it's hard to be a quarterback in the NFL. That's why if you're good at it, you make $40 million, right, Tram? I mean, that's
what if they just staged a trade?
Yeah, well, they're thinking about trading him.
Like Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's one of the ones interesting enough that there's talk about.
He needs a new look. I actually have a really good solution. And I'm not busting you on this, Jim.
Yes,
I'm
you
not
are. Busting. Don't send him.
I'm not busting you. It's
get
a legitimate.
Out of here.
It's a legitimate.
Why
it's a legitimate
would let me ask
operation.
You a question? Listen closely for a second, Tram. Forget that I don't like Baker Mayfield. Why would arguably the best organization in all of football, I mean, think about this. They are over 500 with this horrific offense that they've got. Now, how are the Steelers there? It's because, you've said it, their organization, their culture, their coach and everything. Why would they go get a guy who has had one of the worst seasons in the entire NFL to bring him in? Why would they do that, champ?
Two reasons. Okay. You can get him cheap. I'll bet the Steelers could trade for Baker Mayfield for a fourth-round draft pick.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to
give up a second
reason,
it's low risk. It's just a one-year deal.
You mean they get a quarterback in the draft, you mean?
Well, if they want to, whatever they want to do, either this year or next year. But Baker Mayfield's your quarterback next year. If he turns into a star, great. If he doesn't, you're free.
I love my Giants to do it. I love my Giants to do that.
Now, Al, there's talk about – now, I don't know about you know this, Al, but there's a lot of talk about your Giants getting Russell Wilson.
Well, I like that a lot.
Oh, of course you would. I'd love that for the Steelers.
Seattle's a mess.
Yeah, listen.
Well, the Giants are a mess.
The Giants are a mess.
So Seattle.
Remember something, though, guys. Russell Wilson's wife, she would love to be in New York.
Yeah.
Just remember that. I mean, that's sometimes you got to think about your wife,
right? Does he like running for his life?
What'd you say?
He likes running for his life. Go be a G-man all he wants to.
He's running for his life right now.
Well, I mean, that's fairly new. Giants quarterback's been running for their life for 5 years.
Well,
but Baker and Pittsburgh, I'm going to speak it into existence. Baker and Pittsburgh, quarterbacking the Steelers, 2022.
No, why do you want to punish me, dude? Why? I mean, I thought that you and I were friends. You sit on here
I think it would be one
like,
of the funniest days in radio.
You sit on the radio in front of thousands and almost millions, I might add, with the new rate, the new streaming numbers that we found out, that people are listening to us all over the world. You sit on here and say, I tell people all the time that Traber is a lot nicer and a lot better than you think he is and blah, 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 and all those things.
When do I ever say that? I never say that. I literally never say that.
You don't say that? You told me that.
I say Jim Traber is exactly in real life the way he is on the radio, which to me is giving you a compliment. But I never say I say you're exactly in real life like you are on the radio.
So when someone says to you, how do you deal with Traber, that idiot or whatever, what do you say to him? You say, I don't know. It's really hard. Is that what you say?
No, I say I cash my checks.
Oh. You know what? You better stay inside. You might get struck down today, Tramp. With the things that you're doing right now, you better be careful. Let's take an OG&E break. Increase your comfort and savings with energy efficiency programs at OGE.com. The moral of the story is, though, Al, get your daggone surgery, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, gee, many Christmas.
Yes.
He's a tough dude. There's no doubt he's a tough dude. I bow down to his toughness. But sometimes I guess he thought, oh, I'll put on a daggone harness and I'll be fine. You can't throw when you only got one arm.
Nope.
We'll be back. This is the Leader in Sports, and you're listening to Mr. Al Eschbeck and Mr. Barry Trammell on the Total
Dominance
Hour.
Call the sports animal on the Lucky Star Line, 460-WWLS or 888-285-WWLS. Your connection to the sports animal is the Lucky Star Line. The Sports Animal Studios, powered by the OKC Thunder. Take your shot to win tickets for tomorrow night's matchup against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Text OKC Thunder to 68683 today for your chance to win. WWLS-FM, The Village, Oklahoma City, your home of the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Sports Animal. And now, more Total Dominance.
Total Dominance.
98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
And we are back with a show known in stealing as the Total
Dominance
Hour.
And Ralph Neely died. Somebody that played at OU's last year was 1964 and was in, what, 5 Super Bowls. Barry Trammell.
Great NFL player. Big time for the Dallas Cowboys. 65 to 77. He was big time. He was big time.
I do remember him playing against the Steelers in the 70s. But I didn't know. I had no idea that he played at OU.
Yep. And
New Mexico guy, wasn't he, Al?
Yes,
wasn't he from Farmington,
yes.
New Mexico?
Yes, he was.
Wow.
So, he was from Farmington and played for Bud Wilkinson and then played for Gomer Jones his senior year. So, he was one of the first really big offensive linemen. I mean, he was big.
He's a big guy?
Yeah.
I remember him. He seemed to me like he was very wide, had big old shoulders. And
six.
Yeah, that's big. Back then, that's huge.
Yeah, 6'6", 265. That's really big back then.
Yeah, it is. That means that if he played nowadays, he'd be 330.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. So
that is true.
What are we talking about the gym a little bit? Now Oklahoma State's gotten hit with the portal. McAllister, Hunter, and Jernigan are all leaving.
Yeah, and you know, a couple guys going to the NFL draft, so. You know, that's where it happens. what's interesting to me is for the last 5-6 years, the proliferation of players leaving early to go to the NFL draft, that's been the story. But now in college football, that sort of got put on the back burner because the portal's become so rampant.
Yep.
So, you know, any other year, we'd be talking at OU, we'd be talking about Benito and Isaiah Thomas and whoever else, Winfrey going early.
Woods.
But now that you look at Caleb Williams and Hazelwood and Mario Williams, all these guys in the portal.
Yeah.
You had a great line today, and you missed it by a word.
What did I say?
There was a great song. In fact, it was the NBC back in 1972 was a campaign thing when McGovern ran for president. It was called a Bob Dylan song, "The Times They Are Changing."
Oh, yeah.
Your line was "The Times Are Changed."
The times are changed.
Yeah, the times are changed. So just a little bit off the Dylan
the
song.
Times they are.
Yeah,
changed.
Yeah, yeah. Mothers and daughters, whatever. Yeah.
But
you're
right.
My point is they've
changed.
They've changed. Yeah, it's whether you like it or not, it's changed.
It's changed.
Yeah, no, it is.
Changed.
And you got to adapt to it. You know, I mean, these people, gosh. I've had some of the most unbelievable messages that you can ever imagine on Instagram and a couple calls, and there's just people going crazy about it. And I just said, listen, it's not the same anymore, okay? It's different. Do they need to have some regulations on some things? Yes. But don't sit here and think it's not going back, Tram, is it? It's not going back.
No, it's not going back. It's not going back. This is what we have.
The NCAA, for however many years, I think I could say that it's illegal what they've done, but it certainly is not the American way, right, Tram?
You mean in years past?
For the last 40 years.
Yeah, or 100 years.
100 years, yeah. 40, though.
Here's the deal. And people have said it, and everybody admits it, but nobody wanted to act upon it. College football, for at least as long as we've been adults, at least 40 years, and I'd say 50 years, and we'd have to go back before that, I don't know. College football has not been amateur sports. It's just a lower level, sort of an entry level of professional sports. It's what it is.
Farm teams.
Well, farm teams, and it's not even just that. It's high-level entertainment. It's billion-dollar industry. I mean, you can't pay a coach $10 million and say it's amateur sport. Those things are not congruent. Can't do it.
I totally agree. I, Tram, you're exactly correct. And we've all just, even us, we've all just kind of hidden behind the fact that, well, the students say, no. The players are the they're more important than the coaches, and the coach makes millions and millions, and they're sitting there scrappling around. So
he can break contracts anytime he wants.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, you got, it's gotten worse. You know, the size of the stadiums. If you go to, you look at 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 seat stadiums, state of the art facilities. Traveling the way they travel. I mean, some of this is treating the players very well when you talk about accommodations and travel and the facilities. But that's not amateur sport. That's high-dollar, big-business sport. It's what it is.
There's no one saying, okay, that they're not being treated well, right? I mean, we know they've been treated well. You know, I had a message from a guy, and I know that this is a little bit out there, but he's really true. It's been very similar to slave labor. Listen to me for a second. Obviously, slave, a lot worse. But what did they all say back when they had slaves? Well, we're feeding them and we're giving them places to stay. Right, Tram? That was their big fight about what they did. They took care of them. Well, it's the same thing here. Everybody says, well, we're getting them a great education, and we're giving them food, and we're having a place to stay. It's not the American way, Tram. Am I right?
Well, yeah, I would not use the term slave labor because
I went too far. I'm just saying this guy has the comparison.
I mean, all the players sign up for it. And they volunteer for it. They clamor for it.
But it's the only way they can play. They're not. It's not like they can go somewhere else.
You're right. It's the only avenue to continue their football careers on an
I tell you when it got a lot worse, guys, is when it became a 12-month-a-year job.
No, you're right. You're right.
It used to be they were gone for the summer. Like you had some easy job that you did nothing, Jim, and got paid a lot of money.
Good point. No, that's a great point.
So, it's a 12-month-a-year job now. They get no break. They get no break at all. And they didn't have, like, when they come back, when school starts in the 18th at OU or the 11th in Oklahoma State, they weren't going to weight room every day and working out every day. It is so much more difficult now than it was. So they should be compensated a lot more now than they were.
You know, here, anybody that doesn't like this, this is actually a fantastic development for the universities for this reason. The players deserve money, but I've always been one that I stand on the side of they're getting a good deal with the education. That's a big thing. If you squander it, if you don't use it, if you don't take advantage of it, that's on you. That's not the school's fault. But what we've got now is you still got that education carrot out there, and you get all this access to whatever money you want to generate that the schools are not on the hook for. It's coming from outside the schools with, boosters and donors and whoever else. But it's, in some ways, it's the best of both worlds for the universities.
You're right. I mean, the portal date's got to be changed. The portal date, that has to be changed.
Now, if you think they change the date, is it going to make a huge difference, Al?
It'll help some. I mean, you can't have people leaving in late June, right?
Yeah, what it'll do, it'll restore a little order. It really doesn't restrict freedom. It
right.
It restores some order,
to
roster management and those kinds of things. In other words, and you know what? It's not just helping coaches. Let's say, I don't know who. Let's make up a scenario. Let's say Dylan Gabriel goes to OU. Well, what if Bryce Young decides on June 15th he wants to go to OU? And all of a sudden, Dylan Gabriel's not the starting quarterback. So it can hurt players just as much as it can hurt coaches and universities. So I do think an earlier date, and May 15th is the date I think I came up with. It would be better.
Yeah, that would be fair. I mean, that would it's just chaos is what it becomes.
Yeah.
So it's a different world. I look back of the day I start to lose some interest in Major League Baseball. Some was when Curt Flood went free agency. I used to know name every starting lineup in the major leagues, everyone, and then it goes boom, 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 and then the game totally changed. I still was a huge baseball fan, but free agency. It took a little bit out of me.
Yeah, free agency didn't get me on baseball. Other things got me, but that one didn't bother me.
Well, you were younger than me.
Yeah, there is a cost though to player movement in terms of fan connection, and colleges are a little bit used to it because. The longest career is 5 years, and those are rare. It's, four-year career, and with the NFL situation now, it's really three for the elite players. But we're getting now to where college football is going to be less than that. A whole lot of the guys are going to be 1- and 2-year guys.
Yeah, right, that are leaving and transferring. Yeah,
yeah, and so you can't get too connected. I mean, Jalen Hurts was a great OU quarterback, but he was literally here, what, 11 months, 10 months?
Well, and interestingly enough, that no one puts him in the same category with Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray.
Right, and so there's going to be a cost. And let me give you an example. There was a time, even when they weren't great, when OSU and OU basketball teams, even when they weren't great, had a connection with the fans. There's not a great connection. Now, Buddy Hield was a four-year guy. Now, Blake Griffin grew up here, which really helped, and was 2 years. But for the most part,
Trey Young was here 1 year.
It's hard to get fired up about guys that Cade Cunningham's 1 year in Stillwater.
Now most of Eddie Sutton's players stayed for the whole time.
He generally had guys for quite a while. And he also had a bunch of transfers.
He would bring in transfers. You're right.
Only played 2 years. The Graham twins, John Lucas, that crowd. But we've seen
Lambert.
We've seen now that college basketball is much more migratory. It's way ahead of football in that, and the sport has suffered.
Well, everybody.
Connection with the fans.
All these people have been trying to tell me that this is going to ruin, you know, college football and everything. And all I say to them is, first of all, it's not going to ruin it. But secondly, you better worry a lot more about college basketball, because college basketball is in a lot worse shape than college football.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it'll hurt the parity of college football, because there is none.
That's right. I mean, that's what people.
There's not any parity in college football.
Well,
same teams win over and over.
Yeah, divide the big boys in the little. It already is.
Yeah, it's already one-sided. What's that going to do? But I do think it could hurt at the box office. I do think that.
So you think that smaller teams like an OSU or something, if this stuff happens, that there not as many people are going to come to the game?
No, I mean, I actually think it could hurt the big boys more than the OSU, especially if OSU can sort of maintain the model that's been going down, which is the one way they're winning is with consistency, with continuity, with guys who stick around 3, 4, or 5 years. That's how they won 12 games this year with a really veteran team. So I think it's potentially could hurt an OU a Texas A&M, an Oregon. Now, Alabama's going to be fine because they're winning every game, and you know, it's a 365-day parade.
And let me tell you why. One of the reasons is because these kids are 4 or 5-star recruits. They think they should be going to the NFL, so they're leaving early. Because everybody told them to come out of high school, you're NFL. I mean, right?
Oh, yeah, and that's it. That's the two. That's
yeah.
The early entry and the portal has combined to make everybody sort of restless, anxious, not really in any kind of mood to stick around anyway.
But in reality, Tram, hasn't this basically just made college football look more like what we do in all other walks of life?
Yes. In this regard, what Lincoln Riley did, what Caleb Williams did, what whoever else you want to put on the list did, that's not a college football thing. That's not a university thing. That's not an athletics thing. That's a millennial thing. Younger people in modern America are just prone to moving around more. They don't stick around. I mean, you know, the animal, we've got mostly veteran guys on the radio, so we haven't had a whole lot of turnover. But a whole lot of places in radio, definitely, I could list a litany in the newspaper. People with good jobs, they just move on. They go find another one somewhere. They want to live somewhere else, try something else.
Yeah.
It's in the water. It's in the spirit of our country, and people just don't stick around. You know, I'm living on the same side of town in which I was born and which I was raised, And a lot of people my age do that. Not a lot of 30-year-olds are doing that. Not a lot of 25-year-olds are doing that. And college football is not, it's not an outlier. It's just sort of caught up in this thing with people being more migratory.
Yeah. Plus, like it or not, in this country, if you have a skill and someone wants to pay you for it, then guess what? You should be paid for it. And before, these kids had skills, and they weren't getting paid for it. And now it's going to change. Right, Al?
No doubt about it. No. And think of it, that for the longest time, with the Olympics wouldn't let it, had, you had to be an amateur. I mean.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So, just ridiculous. And Avery Brundage, one of the bad men that ever lived in sports history. But I'll save that topic for another day. Hey, Barry, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Let us take an O, G, and E breakout. And the AAU. Let's not forget the AAU, what the AAU has done to everything. Right, guys?
Oh, yeah. AAU's been horrible for basketball.
I mean, just absolutely terrible is what it is.
I wonder, you know what I was wondering? It's interesting you bring that up because, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I wonder if there's going to become an AAU for football. Is that a possibility, you think, Trim?
It's not the exact same thing, but we've seen the first vestiges of it with these academies.
Okay.
It's not the AAU, right, but it's the prep school, the basketball prep school. IMG Academy and all that stuff.
And also these, like, Nike camps that run in the summertime and everything. Mm-hmm. And Adidas camps.
Yeah, a lot of that. Yeah.
Thanks, Barry. It's time for an OG&E break. Increase your comfort and savings with energy-efficient programs at OG&E.com. 98.1 FM. To the Sports Animal up next, Dean. More than the total.
Dominance.
Hour.
Covering all four corners of Oklahoma, reaching over 2 million sports fans. From OKC to Tulsa, Elk City to Muskogee, Woodward to Long, Ardmore to Pawhuska, WWLS, the Sports Animal, your home of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Dean Blevins joins Al Eschbach and Jim Traver. This is Total Dominance on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
And we are back with a show known in Abu Dhabi as the Total
Dominance.
Power.
How you doing, Dito?
Doing well, big Al. Doing fine, thank you, Jim.
What's on your mind today? Anything special?
Oh, just typing up a bunch of scripts.
You know anything about this kid from Hawaii?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know until today. But as I think all three of us always say, just tell me who's recruiting him. And not only was he recruited and offered by Georgia, LSU, USC, and Miami, among others, but they all did it within the first 24 hours of when he stepped into the portal. So that tells me that he's got a chance to be really good.
I was just going to say, Dean, yeah, before you go any further, I want you, when you're done, I should have let you speak and then said it, so I apologize. But when you're done, I want you and maybe you, Al, because I don't have any answer. Do they have people that are just doing the portal? I mean, Brent Venables is not going through the portal, right? I mean, Jeff Lebby's not looking at the portal.
I would assume that I know down in Norman, this new staff is just all over it. Every person, the new recruiting guy they brought in that became official today, and all the assistant coaches and just everyone. But, yeah, there will be dedicated people to doing that, if not just one person. But right now, man, you know, you've got to scour it all. And I don't know if that gives you a good enough answer, but they're coming up with a few guys. I mean, this is one that I would say is more than just a guy. I look at him, and if those guys want him, and I was reading some Georgia stuff, if those guys really wanted him, that's a really good sign.
Sure. I'm sure he's a good player. I'm just, you know, Al, I got a friend of mine who was in the stock market. He went, you know, Wall Street, and he's a multi-millionaire. He's got like five houses now. But I remember every single morning he'd wake up, you know, and he would just, it was the stock, it was looking at all the stocks and looking at this. And I'm just wondering if there's two or three dudes at every big program right now waking up every morning saying, is there a new guy in the portal? What are we looking at? You know?
I bet there is.
Absolutely.
I bet there is. And also, you know, OU, it made the kid from Kansas, Hayes, Kansas, made it official, which pushed OU to a top 10 recruiting class, which is pretty amazing that Brent was able to finish with. How many people with a new coach can have a top 10 recruiting
class? Now, give Bob Stoop some credit, too, now.
You're right. You're right. Give Bob Stoop a ton of credit.
I would answer, I do think it's impressive, but I would also say on top of it, how many programs would be able to put a Bob Stoops in there? Bob Stoops, if you remember, 2 days after he took the job, was in Tulsa visiting with all three of those big dudes up there, right, Dean?
That's right.
Yeah. You bet. He came off the golf course and went into recruiting mode. And initially to recruit or to at least talk with the players that were remaining. They've done a really good job. I don't have the numbers in front of me, Al. I hadn't seen that list. I figured it was going to get there. I don't know what this kid would end up being. He's a transfer, I don't know what he is. But he was a two-star, just so you know. I wrote down a couple of notes. He was a two-star coming out of a Las Vegas high school. So obviously he hadn't done much, and I don't know his size, but he was the 2,582nd ranked national recruit. So that tells you where he was going in, and then he's had 2 years starting there and has gotten bigger, stronger, and produced enough that Georgia comes offering and Oklahoma.
I hope he knows that the weather's a little bit different here than Hawaii. I said, I hope he knows that the weather here is a little different than Hawaii.
Well, and the level of competition. I think that's one thing. You know, when you look at, to be fair about it, Dillon Gabriel, UCF, they don't play a schedule. They're not in the SEC. He doesn't see that type of schedule. So you have to take all those things into consideration.
Sure.
But it's easy for me to go to the very end of the deal and say, let's just see who really wanted him. And this is a good one.
I told you, Al, back in maybe December, before you went on vacation, I said that I'm not going to go crazy over these kids because last year the Tennessee kids, my gosh, it was unbelievable how good everybody thought they were going to be. So, yeah, I think they've done – I agree with Al. You're right, Al. It's amazing that they finished in the top 10. But these portal guys and all that, I'm going to wait to see what they can do. That's fair, isn't it?
And you know what? It's a key – in the 22 season for those portal guys from Tennessee to do something. I mean, it is a key. Key Lawrence got to go back to safety and take one of the safety spots. The big offensive lineman, Morris, he got to come in and step in and play like he did at Tennessee. And Eric Gray, I would think either he or Marcus Major is going to be a starting running back, probably Eric Gray.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Dino, real quick before you say something.
By the way, they're looking at a kid. Hey, Jim, let me toss this in real quick.
Yeah.
I had a buddy call me, Razorback fan, and told me about this running back. I don't have my paperwork in front of me. Number 22, real good scat back over for Arkansas. He split some time. Young kid, small kid, but he can fly. And if you turn on some tape of him, you'll say, yeah, he can play. Apparently, OU's hot and heavy for him, which I didn't know they were going after another running back.
Well, I'll tell you this, Al. I think Gray is a third down back. And if I'm wrong, I'll say it. That's what I think he is. And he looks really good. And I think you can give it to him on the second down and maybe run him outside. But I don't think he's an everyday – I don't think he's an every down back, guys. I don't. I think you got to run
him in the middle. He was at Tennessee.
Huh?
He was at Tennessee.
Well, yeah. I mean, Al, if I'm wrong, I'll say it. I mean,
the
I just
second team all SEC.
I know. So was the other kid, the Tennessee offensive lineman. He couldn't even play.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was second team.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying he's not a good football player. I'm just saying Kennedy Brooks. Yeah. You need a kid like Kennedy Brooks, man. That dude's going to get in there and get after it. And then Gray's a perfect guy with him.
Yeah, well, maybe these young guys are coming in. We'll see. You know, they're doing a great job. I don't know if you've seen the list of the early enrollees, but they've got a big number coming in, already committed, ready to go.
And it's going to help. The Sawchuck and Barnes, two of the top running backs in the country.
Right. What I was going to say, though, guys, Marcus Major, I am really proud of his development. He's had some challenges to work through. He's had some roster challenges to work through also. But he's hung in there. He's in good stead. And I only hear really good things about him. And all I know is when they turn around and hand him the ball, he looks really good, really strong, and looks like he's playing full speed.
No doubt. I mean, he looked really good in the ball game. So we will see what happens. Yeah, the thing with the portal, guys, it give it and it take it away. I mean, it's that simple, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I mean,
okay.
Yep.
So, no, I tell you, that's something that Lincoln Riley at SC, I know people don't want to hear his name, nor should they want to, but he better have success in the portal this year, because they're in massive trouble if they don't, this upcoming season, if they don't get some players.
Well, mark this on the tape. Forgive me, but I'm not going to feel sorry. It has nothing to do with it. It has very little to do with Lincoln. But USC is going to be winning a whole lot of football games real soon, and I'm not going to lose any sleep, nor will either one of you guys, if they don't sign a 28-player class that ranks number 4 in the country.
Yeah, I would think. Did they have that kid coming back? The Slovak kid, is he coming back?
He left. He went to the portal.
That's right. Who's their quarterback?
Oh, they've got a really good young quarterback, and then Caleb. Jim, I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, he's a.
Yeah, they lost their start. He said adios.
Yeah, Slovak, right?
Yeah, he was a good player.
They thought he was going to be in the draft. He didn't have a great year, so he's a big, strong kid. He's a good player. Yeah, USC is going to have a quarterback. And so as we know, Lincoln is too. I'm just wondering, can they play any defense at all?
You're right. They got it. They got
Slovis. That's what it is. Slovic.
Slovic. Slovic. Yeah, Slovic, right?
Slovis.
Right. S.
Yeah.
S-V-I-S. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Hey, and we'll talk about it more, but it's going to be approaching. You guys excited about the Georgia-Alabama game Monday?
Yeah, because it should be a game. Unfortunately, other teams aren't in that category. And I think it'll be a great game.
You know, this is if I'm a OU or, for that matter, an OSU fan, either one or anybody else, this is a really weird game because obviously nobody wants Alabama to win. They've won 7 of the last 13. Everybody hates them, blah, blah, blah. But let me tell you something. If Georgia wins this thing, their recruiting right now is right up there with all of them.
Yep.
I mean, right now they're right there.
Absolutely.
So, in other words, it'll be good for one of them to lose, but it's bad for either one of them to win is what I'm saying.
You could legitimately say, because of the age difference between Kirby and Saban, that Georgia's positioned for a stronger, longer run.
Although Saban, dude, I think he'd be 100 years old. He's probably still going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, but he won't coach as long. And especially if they get Caleb, which I don't give them a big chance, but they're not out of it.
Georgia?
Yeah.
Did Texas A&M out have the number one ranked class?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. Jimbo
Fisher. Absolutely.
Big-time
class.
Yeah. And remember something. There's, Schmitty left down there. Henson left, remember? Henson went to USC, which, by the way, neither one of you guys were with me when that happened. I love me some Josh Henson. You guys know that. I think that
absolutely.
I love him. I love his family. I love everything about him. But I was really disappointed he went out there with Lincoln Riley. The word what they told me was, is people that I know very well told me that they're good friends, have been for a while, and that Josh would really like to get himself a head coaching job. So, go out there with him and be his, quote, offensive coordinator for a couple of years. Maybe he will, right?
Oh, no, it's a very smart move from that standpoint. No question.
Here's the thing what I've heard about A&M. The NIL is off the charts.
Oh, what was the number thrown around the other day on the internet?
It was outrageous, Dean.
Oh, yeah. It was an outrageous number. But they're number one in revenue for all the schools in America. They're number one, and Texas is number two. So if it's up to the Aggie faithful, now if they can legally open up the pocketbooks, it's really going to come in fast now.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to win. They beat Alabama this year. That was all well and good, but they're going to have to win that daggone SEC, I think, right? Keep getting big players.
You're right. They got a lot of kids like this. I think they signed five or six top 100, and most of these defensive players, including the one that had committed to Oklahoma, were really, really high up there. So they're gonna have the talent. Just a matter of coaching and winning.
Got to get a quarterback.
Yep. That's exactly right. About Caleb? What about Caleb Williams going to A&M?
I heard a little bit of that.
So have I.
Oh, have you? I've never put two and two together there.
Yeah. Huh.
I just don't, who knows what he's doing? I mean, he's on vacation supposedly right now. By the way, does anybody know where they went?
Supposedly Hawaii.
I hope so, too. Dean, are you watching the Golf Channel? Are you watching Kapalua, how beautiful that is?
Only for the last 3 hours, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to
Hovland's at 4 under, 2 back, and Gooch. And they're both on and finished 17. Gooch, so they're tied fifth with Koepka.
And that, remember that Higo guy's up there. Remember I told you that.
Yeah.
I mean, they I'm telling you, Ernie Els thinks that he's got a chance to be a star. We'll
Who
see.
Is he?
Yeah.
His
Who
name is
he?
Higo, and he's from South Africa. Al, Higgo.
How old is he?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe 25, something like that.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yeah, they. Boy, there's so many good golfers now. This tournament is just crazy, isn't it, Dean? Where they just you got all the people that won the year before. Man,
have you played out here, Jim?
I have played Kapalua. Yes.
Yeah, I have too.
It's crazy.
Windy the day I played it.
Yeah, and me too. But if you're hitting it with the wind, dude, you can drive it like 400 yards.
Yeah, like you're in Colorado.
I know it. Great stuff.
Hey, Dino, thanks.
Thanks, Dean.
Okay, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
You could need to go to – you know what? If you like Hawaii, you need to go to Bali.
Dude, I'm going – we're going out there, man. I mean, although Bali's not out there with the Tahitian Islands, is it?
No. Bali's is past Australia.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But Tahiti, yeah. You have Tahiti. That's as good as it gets.
Listen, here's the deal. The next big – this summer we're going on an Alaskan cruise, and then we're going – we got a house in Cabo for the whole family. That's what we're doing this summer.
Okay. But that's cool.
The next big trip that we go on is going to be that daggone cruise over the Tahitian Islands.
That'll be unbelievable. You will love it. Love it. Love
I've
it.
Heard,
Bora Bora. Oh, you kidding me?
Well, you know, you and everybody else that's been over there says it's about as beautiful as anywhere there.
It is. It's unbelievable. Time for an OG&E break. Increase your comfort and savings with energy efficient programs at OG&E.com, 98.1 FM. That lets the sports. And we'll come back with one more segment of the total.
Dominance.
Get Thunder scores and breaking news instantly to your phone first with the Sports Animal Thunder Text Alerts. Text the word basketball to 62582. Standard messaging and data rates may apply. Sponsored by SSM Health, Bone and Joint Hospital at St. Anthony.
What did you think of Thunder last night?
I'm telling you, Al, I was sitting here about 4.5 minutes left in the game. They got Muscala and Kendrick Williams in. They cut it to 2. I am literally getting ready to throw my chair at the daggone TV. I'm like, what are they doing? And they take both of them out, and then it goes back up. That gets back to about 8 or 9. But, man, I just don't. Kendrick Williams out, 10 points, 9 rebounds. This dude can play. Put the Serb in there. The Serb, he can't do anything.
You're right.
You know, I mean, they play Serb in the first quarter a whole bunch. At the end of the first quarter, the score is 30-10. 30-10. And then the Serb doesn't play anymore, and here they come back. Now, I will say they got the assistant coach in there, so I'm sure he wants to try to win a game. But,
yeah,
man, they lost, so that's the key. They lost.
Play them again tomorrow night.
So somebody asked me a question out earlier. I get your thoughts. 5 years from now, who's the better player, Gildas Alexander or Giddey?
Boy, I tell you what, Jim. Okay, I'll simplify the answer. If Alexander plays like this year, I'm going to say Giddey. If he played like he did last year, I'll say Alexander.
But you'd probably agree if he just his overall career so far, you probably go slight edge of Gildas Alexander, right?
Right.
But interestingly enough, that's pretty cool for a 19-year-old. We've only watched 30 games.
Yep. But he got to be able to shoot the ball.
You know, last night he went back-to-back threes. He's got a funky shot. He's got to change it up a little bit. Got to do what Lonzo Ball did, you know, just kind of solidify where you're going to shoot the ball from every single time. That's a big key.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to see what happens now. I mean, we're seeing – and come back. Look, Jim, this is January 6th, and Ben Simmons is still on 76. Is that not ridiculous?
It is.
It's a joke.
It's a fiasco. And now remember something now. Both of the two best players out there in Portland, you can't trade for either one of them now. They're both hurt.
Yep.
And both of them are it sounds like both of them are serious. So what are they going to do? They have messed this thing up so bad. Go all the way back to what you've talked about 20 times. They could have gotten Harden for him, supposedly.
Right. And Morey said no.
Yeah. And now, what is going on?
Yeah. He played hardball and he's striking out. Morey's striking out. Playing hardball, asking for too much for a guy that's a psycho case.
Yeah, and I don't know how he's going to change it.
I don't really either. So he's hurting their team of not adding a piece because they're a big disappointment this year, Philadelphia.
Well, let me tell you something. Now, there's a bunch of disappointments. You got them. You got Atlanta. You got Boston.
Boston
is a joke. Indiana.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the best team in the league is right now. The leader is Chicago.
I know. So it's bizarre. We got the trade deadline. We got a little bit more than a month for the trade deadline here, and we'll see what they do.
Well, I don't know how they can get anything for him at the trade deadline because everybody's going to be trying to rob him. They wanted so much.
Well, he just ever since, you know, I think back to the Capella trade with Atlanta where he got virtually nothing for that. And Capella is a good player.
Really good player. Really good player.
Well,
I'm really surprised
by
Atlanta.
You said earlier, someone, look at Kendrick Williams and look at Muscala. Hey, they can help you, dudes, right?
Let me tell you, I'm shocked that somebody like a Memphis – or, like you said, Philly, or somebody in the East, maybe. I am shocked that they have not tried to get Kendrick Williams. I mean, that dude, he knows how to play the game.
Yep.
And now, he's not a superstar, but you tell me you bring him in as a number 7 or number 8 guy?
Absolutely.
He can't help you?
Absolutely.
And then I don't have to watch him play great basketball anymore.
Boy, this is so weird because they're so close to being something, and yet they're so close to being one of the worst teams in the league.
I know. And the next 35 games are going to really determine. Because have you seen that kid play from Auburn yet, Al?
He's the number 1 pick. I saw him. No, I am not. And when I was on there yesterday, I said, wow, they got him as number 1 pick.
Yeah.
So he must be unbelievable.
It looks as if, though, it's kind of a 3-player draft, the 3, you know, at the top.
Obviously, and NBA draft got the Thunder taking the kid from Gonzaga, number 3.
Well, let's hope so. That would be great if they could get one of these 3. That would be awesome. That, because they need a big man. They need a big man.
And Jim, you know what trends to what we're saying that they don't. They got to start putting people in the fans. They got to bring in a top three pick that's going to sell tickets. Don't you agree?
Got to have people excited about something.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you're right. They got to get some luck. They desperately need some luck. And they got to win. They got to stop winning games they shouldn't win.
Well, the Rockets won last night, so that's...
I know. Yeah. So, yep. Rockets won. But let me look at it before.
Well, Detroit and Orlando are absolutely terrible.
Yeah, they're not going to. They're probably not going to catch them. Let me look here at the playoff standings. So, see, here's the deal: the Thunder are two games in the loss column away from being in the play-in game.
And but right, they're the worst record in the West right now, right?
No, New Orleans is. One half a game worse, and then Houston is two games.
Okay,
worse.
Yeah.
Houston's
okay,
11-28.
And then you got Detroit and Orlando.
That's right. Now Portland is going to keep on losing. So
you're right. But you Orlando, know, when they get Zion back, they're going to start winning some games.
You mean not Orlando? You mean Phoenix?
I mean New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah. When they
you
get
would
when
think,
they get,
but
Zion.
I don't know. He may not come back.
Yeah. I mean that's insane. What's going on with him too?
See, Indiana, here's the teams you got to look at. Indiana only has one more win than Oklahoma City.
Boy, that's insane, that is.
I know. I mean,
we thought when Carlisle went there, they'd be, you know, so much better.
Interesting. Carlisle leaves Boston and they stink, and then he goes to Indiana and they stink.
Right.
That's crazy.
Good point.
But you're right. Detroit and Orlando have seven wins. And then right now, Houston has 11. New Orleans and Oklahoma City have 13. And then Portland and Indiana have 14. And I'm telling you something. The Thunder, everybody gets all mad at you and me. The Thunder cannot let Portland get under them. Because Portland's going to lose a lot of games now. They're going to lose a bunch of games. They don't have either one of their best players.
Yeah.
So Thunder got to lose. It's very
absolutely.
Simple.
Jim, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Al, see ya.
See ya. We are going to take phone calls. You know why? Because it's called Talk Radio. It's just a really, really unique thing. So we're going to come back, take calls, so light the lines up. We'll do that 98.1 FM, Dennis Paterno.
We're still live in local Oklahoma. More of Al Eschbach.
Take calls, so light the lines up. We'll do that 98.1 FM, Dennis Paterno.
We're still live in local Oklahoma. More of Al Eschbach.
Call and we'll talk.
Is next. The Sports Animal presents the OKC Boat and RV Show January 14th through the 16th at the Oklahoma State Fairgrounds. If you're wanting a boat or an RV this summer, don't miss this show. See 14 different boat dealers from across the state offering deals you won't see again. Boats, RVs, ATVs, side-by-sides, golf carts, personal watercraft, motorcycles, and so much more for the outdoors. Get $2 discount coupons at OnQ. The OKC Boat and RV Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.